الحمد لله الذي لم يزل ولا يزال حيا قيوما عليما قديرا ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وأذن في الناس بالحج يأتوك رجالا وعلى كل ضامر يأتين من كل فج عميق صدق الله العظيم وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال خطبنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال أيها الناس إن الله قد فرض عليكم الحج فحجوا وسئل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أي العمل أفضل قال إيمان بالله قال ثم ماذا قال جهاد في سبيل الله قال ثم ماذا قال حج مبرور أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Most respected ulama ikram, elders and friends, all praises due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, who has given us the greatest ni'mat that anyone can ever possess on the surface of this earth. That is the ni'mat of iman in the kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us steadfast upon iman. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us an honorable death upon iman. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raise us on the day of qiyamah with perfect iman. Respected elders and friends, we find ourselves to be in the days of Hajj, in the months of Hajj. Many people have already left to discharge this great responsibility and faridah and command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And many are still going to leave. And there are many of us who are still waiting for the call from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or for the response to the labbaik from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we find Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned to us the importance of Hajj. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave a talk to the Sahaba, and he said in this talk, in the sermon of his, أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ فَرَضَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْحَجَّ فَحُجُّ, that, O people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made Hajj farad upon you. So make sure that you discharge this command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and this obligation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you. Now obviously, Hajj is farad upon those where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا, that person who has the means to go for Hajj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it farad upon him to go for Hajj. And this ayat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this is the right of Allah. We owe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ, it is a duty upon each and every person who has the means, مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا, who has the means to go for Hajj, that he goes for Hajj. And thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ عَنِ الْعَالَمِينَ. Yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not say that person who does not go for Hajj. Allah says that person who makes kufr, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is totally independent from all the mankind, from the jinn kind, mankind. So yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the word kufr. Some ulama ikram explain that the word kufr here means that if a person denies that Hajj is farad, then that person becomes a kafir. A person, in fact all of ulama ikram unanimous upon this, that if a person denies the farziyat of Hajj, that Hajj is farad, then this person becomes a kafir. And others mention that this act of his is a very dangerous act, where a person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made Hajj farad upon him, and he does not discharge this responsibility. In fact, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was so stern about this that it is mentioned that he would say that if a person Hajj was farad upon him and he did not go for Hajj, then it will be written on his forehead on the day of Qiyamah, kafir, that this person is a disbeliever. And he would quote this ayat of the Holy Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ عَنِ الْعَالَمِينَ. However, the majority of the ulama ikram, the unanimous opinion is that Hajj, if a person denies Hajj being farad, then only that person will be out of the fold of Islam. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains to us that how important it is for us to go for Hajj. It is the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in various ahadith mentions the virtues of a person going for Hajj. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that Al-Hujjaj wal-Ummar wafdullah. Those who go for Hajj and those who make Umrah, they are the delegations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In da'awhu ajabuhu. If they ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they turn to Allah, they make dua to Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will respond and Allah will answer their duas. وَإِنِ اسْتَغْفَرُوهُ غَفَرَ لَهُمْ. And if they ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive their sins. One narration, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, يُغْفَرُ لِلْحَاجِّ وَلِمَنِ اسْتَغْفَرَ لَهُ الْحَاجِ. That person who goes for Hajj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives all his sins. And that person who the Haji makes dua maghfirat for, that person in whose favor the Haji asks for forgiveness, Allah ta'ala will also forgive that person's sins. So we find these ahadith, how Nabi sallallahu alayhi explains to us the virtues of Hajj. In one hadith it is mentioned, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, that Hajj, Al-Hajj wal-Umrah, tabi'u bayna al-Hajj wal-Umrah, that perform Hajj and Umrah one after the other, because فَإِنَّهُمَا يَنْفِيَانِ الْفَقْرَ وَالذُّنُوبِ كَمَا يَنْفِي الْكِيرُ خَبَثَ الْحَدِيدِ وَالذَّهَبِ وَالْفِضَّةِ. Because Hajj and Umrah expiate a person's sins, just like how the bellows, when a person cleans steel, and a person cleans gold and silver, just as that silver and gold is cleaned from all dirt, cleansed from all dirt, similarly a person who goes for Hajj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives all his sins. Person goes for Umrah, Allah ta'ala forgives all his sins. It is mentioned that once Ibn Shimasa rahimahullah mentions that once we were in the company of Abdullah ibn of Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he was about to leave this world, and at this moment he was crying profusely, he was weeping profusely. So his son told him that, "Oh my beloved father, ama basharaka Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bikada, ama basharaka Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bikada." That, "Oh my beloved father, didn't Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam give you such and such glad tidings? Didn't he mention such and such things about you?" So he said, "Yes, but I found myself in three stages of my life." He says, "There was a time that there was no one, لَقَدْ رَأَيْتُنِي وَمَا أَحَدٌ أَشَدُّ بُغْضًا لِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مِنِّي." There was a time in my life when there was no one who had more hatred for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam than myself, to such an extent that I even had this desire that if I had that opportunity, then I would take the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, "لَوْ مُتُّ عَلَىٰ تِلْكَ الْحَالِ لَكُنْتُ مِنْ أَهْلِ النَّارِ." That if I had to pass away in that condition, then most definitely I would have been from the dwellers of Jahannam. He says, thereafter he says, فَلَمَّا جَعَلَ اللَّهُ الْإِسْلَامَ فِي قَلْبِي. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed Islam in my heart, he says, "I came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I said, Ya Rasulullah, أُبْسُطْ يَمِينَكَ لِأُبَايِعَكَ. Then, O Nabi of Allah, please stretch out your right hand so that I may take bay'at and I may take the pledge allegiance on your hands of Islam." So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spread out his right hand, and thereafter he says, فَقَبَضْتُ يَدِي. I held back my hand. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked me, "مَا لَكَ يَا عَمَرْ. Oh Umar, what is the matter with you?" He said, "أَرَدْتُ أَنْ أَشْتَرِطَ. O Nabi of Allah, I want to make a condition." Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, "مَاذَا تَشْتَرِطُ. What is your condition?" He said, "أَيْ يُغْفَرَ لِي. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must forgive my sins." So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, "أَمَا عَلِمْتَ يَا عَمَرْ أن الإسلام يهدم ما كان قبله وأن الهجرة تهدم ما كان قبلها وأن الحج يهدم ما كان قبله." That, "O Umar, don't you know that when a person accepts Islam, then his accepting Islam expiates all his sins of the past. And when a person makes that hijrah, that farz hijrah for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this hijrah and migration for the sake of Allah expiates all his sins of the past. And when a person goes for hajj, then this hajj also expiates all his sins of the past." Thereafter he says that after accepting Islam, that there was no one who had so much of love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam than myself. to such an extent that I could not even look directly into the Mubarak face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And if anyone has to ask me to describe Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I will not be able to describe him because of me being unable to see his Mubarak face properly out of the rawb and awe. And he says, فَلَوْ مُتْتُ عَلَىٰ تِلْكَ الْحَالِ لَرَجَوْتُ أَنْ أَكُونَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ. If I passed away in that state, then I have hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I would have been from the people of Jannah. Thereafter he says, ثُمَّ وَلِينَ made in charge of certain things, referring to probably when he was made the Amir and the governor of certain countries and continents. He says, we don't know what will be our state now. At that state we know we were Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He was worried and he feared that what will be the condition of his heart. So here also in this hadith, we find that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam explains to us that a person who makes hajj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives all his previous sins. We find it is also mentioned in one narration. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhumah mentions that once we were Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and one person from the Ansar had entered, and he said, O Nabi of Allah, kalimatun as'aluka anhunna. But O Nabi of Allah, I have some questions to ask you. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam told him that sit down. Thereafter a person from the tribe of Thaqif had entered, and he said, O Nabi of Allah, I have some questions to ask. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, sit down. But the person, the Ansari, had come before you, so I will first answer his question. So the Ansari was sitting there, said, O Nabi of Allah, this person is from outside, he is a traveler. You rather take his question first. So he asked some questions regarding salah, how to perform salah, with regards to the postures of salah, etc. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam answered him and gave him all the how to perform each posture of salah, and he also gave him advice that he should fast on the 13th, 14th and 15th of every month, which is known as Iyam Bid. Thereafter this Ansari came forward. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked him that if you want, in shi'ta akhbartuka amma ji'ta tas'aluni anhu wa in shi'ta tas'aluni wa ukhbiruka, that if you want I can inform you of what you came to ask me about, or if you want you can ask me the question and I will answer you. So he said, O Nabi of Allah, please do tell me what did I come and ask, please do tell me for what reason I came to you. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him that ji'ta tas'aluni anil hajji ma lahu hina yadkhulu min bayt hina yakhruju min baytihi wa ma lahu hina yaqifu fi arafa wa ma lahu hina yarmi al jimar wa ma lahu hina yahliqu ra'sahu وما له حين يطوف بالبيت آخر طواف. Or كما قال, that you have come to me to ask me few questions regarding a haji, that what reward will he get when he leaves his home, and what reward he will get when he stands on the plains of Arafah, and what reward he will get when he makes rami and he pelts the shayateen, and what reward he will get when he shaves his head, and what reward he will get when he performs the last tawaf, the tawaf al-wada, what reward he will get. He said, O Nabi of Allah, وَالَّذِي بَعْثَكَ بِالْحَقِّ, O Nabi of Allah, by the qasam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has sent you with this true haqq and iman, true deen, most definitely this is the question that I have come to ask you. Thereafter Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to him that when a haji leaves his home and he goes out for hajj, then for every step that he takes, or every step that his animal takes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala writes down one good deed for him, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wipes off one of his sins for every step. Thereafter, when the haji goes to Arafah, there Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through his qudrat comes to the last skies of this world. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thereafter tells the malaika that look at my servants, they have come to me shu'than ghubran, they have come to me disheveled, they have come to me in a state that they are full of dust, and they have come to ask me for forgiveness. Then, O my malaika, you become witness that I have forgiven my servants. Even though if their sins have to be equivalent to the raindrops that fall, or even equivalent to the grains of sand. Thereafter, when a person pelts the shayateen, then in some narrations, it comes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him such a reward that he will only see the reward of this in the akhirah. Some narrations it comes that he will get such a reward that Allah will keep this reward for him when he needs it most. In some narration it comes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive his major sins, min al-mubiqat, those sins that were means of his destruction. And thereafter when a haji shaves off his hair, then what will be the reward? Then in some narrations it comes that for every hair strand of his, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala writes down one good deed for him. In some narrations it comes, it will become a means of nur for him on the day of Qiyamah. And thereafter Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that now when this haji will perform his tawaf, the last tawaf before returning, then he returns home just as the day that his mother had given birth to him. In other words, totally free from sin. Totally free from sin. One hadith, man hajja lillahi falam yarfuth walam yafsuq raja'a kayawmi waladathu ummuh. That person who makes hajj for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sincerely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he does not commit any shameless acts, and he does not commit any sin, then raja'a kayawmi waladathu ummuh. Then he will return home just as the day that his mother had given birth to him. In one hadith it is mentioned, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that al-hajj walaysa lil-hajjati al-mabrurati jazaa'un illa al-jannah. That hajj mabrur, accepted hajj, there is only one reward for that hajj, and that is jannah. Sahaba even asked on one occasion that umma birruhu, what is meant by hajj mabrur? In one narration Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned it'aamu at-ta'am wa tibul kalam, that when we are out in hajj, then we should feed the people, and we should also talk nicely and kindly to the, be polite to the people. In some narrations it is mentioned, وَإِفْشَاءُ السَّلَامُ, and whilst out for hajj, then we should also spread the salam. So respected elders and friends, these are the virtues of going for hajj. On the other hand, if a person doesn't, he has the means to go for hajj, and he doesn't go for hajj, then there are great warnings for such a person. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, مَنْ مَلَكَ زَادًا وَرَاحِلَةً تُبَلِّغُهُ إِلَى بَيْتِ اللَّهِ وَلَمْ يَحُجَّ فَلَا عَلَيْهِ أَن يَمُوتَ يَهُودِيًّا أَوْ نَصْرَانِيًّا. That person who has the means to go to Baytullah for hajj, and he does not perform his hajj, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, it is up to him whether he passes away as a Jew or a Christian. Some narrations it mentions, if a person has the means to go for hajj, and this, he doesn't have any dire excuse, or he doesn't have any tyrant ruler that prevents him from going for hajj, or he doesn't have any sickness that holds him back from going for hajj, and he doesn't go for hajj, then فَلْيَمُوتْ إِنْ شَاءَ يَهُودِيًا أَوْ نَصْرَانِيًا. Then such a person, if he wants, he should die as a Yahudi, as a Jew, or if he wants, he should die as a Christian. In fact, some of the Tabi'een, like Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib, etc., and others, they were so particular about if a person had the means to go for hajj and he didn't perform his hajj, that they would not even perform his janazah salah. In fact, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu mentioned that, I have this wish that I send an announcement to all the towns that if anybody has the means to go for hajj and he doesn't perform his hajj, then such a person, we should take jizya from him. And jizya is taken from the non-Muslims. So we find that a person should make that attempt, each and every one of us. We know that hajj is farad once in a person's lifetime. And we should make, if a person hasn't been for hajj, we should work towards that hajj. Mustn't say, no, I don't have the means, or it's so expensive, and it's sahuk and all those things. Rather, a person should turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make that firm determination that, wallah, I want to go for hajj. Rituraka salatul hajj, wallah, accept me for hajj. Give some sadaqah, make some savings, start saving up from now. Even if it's a little every day, or even if a person sacrifices, sometime he might want to go for a meal, or might want to go for a small vacation with the family, say, I'll sacrifice this vacation, sacrifice this meal, and I will save this money up and go for hajj. One incident, last year when Sheikh Yunus from Tunisia, who made hijrah to France, he was here last year around the same time, and he mentioned one incident regarding one woman from France who accepted Islam. And this woman, she went out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and after coming back from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, she fell ill, and one day her husband came, it's a lengthy incident, her husband came home, and she told him that, I have this one desire in my heart. So he asked her, what do you have, what desire? She says, before I pass away, she had such a sickness, she was diagnosed with cancer, and the doctors told her that she won't live for long. So she told her husband that, I have this one desire, that before I pass away, I must go for hajj. So the husband said, no problem. He went to the Saudi consulate, to the embassy, and he went to apply for hajj. And when he went there, they told him, listen here, this year the hajj is closed. This year, you can't apply, all the numbers are, the hajj is closed. If you want, you can put your name down now for next year. So he put his name down and he came back home. Then he explained to his wife that the king of Saudi has now closed all applications, and now you can't go for hajj this year, but let's put our name down for next year. So this woman had the determination, and she had the true zeal to go for hajj. So she told her husband that if the king of Saudi has stopped me from coming for Hajj this year, I will turn to Malikul Muluk. I will turn to the king of all kings, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I will ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept me for Hajj. So she engaged herself in amal and tahajjud salah, a lot of dua. Then the next time this person went, her husband went to the embassy. In fact, there was an announcement from the king that now we want new Muslims from France, those who have accepted Islam, new Muslims to come for Hajj, and that too we want them to come as a guest of the royal kingdom. We want them to come as a guest of the king of Saudi. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it such on her determination, her crying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah ta'ala accepted her and she went for Hajj. And after she came back from Hajj a few days later, she fell unconscious for a few hours. And when she regained consciousness, then she told her husband that she saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in her dream. And she said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was full of nuraniyat. And she said it was such a, she didn't want, she wished that she passed away in that condition and she didn't regain consciousness. And thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took her away from this world. So this is an example of a person who had a talab and the desire to go for Hajj, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted her for Hajj. So we also should make this intention and have the desire in our hearts, especially those of us who haven't been for Hajj. We should start, turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, open up some saving, and make intention, make dua, give some sadaqah with that niyat, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can also accept us for this great ibadat, and how we can discharge this great faridah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.